Hello, Craig.
Craig's here. It's time.
It is time.
We're back again. It's episode 55 of TH Fantasy.
Yes.
I'm Tony. This is Ryan. How's it going, Ryan?
Going good. It is college football Saturday. We just finished up recording our other shows with Waleed. And we are ready for episode 55.
So you were telling me a minute ago that your 55 is pretty crazy. And my 55 is pretty fucking crazy. So, do you want to go first or second?
I can go first if you want.
All right, lay it on me.
My number 55 this week is a former Bear.
Okay.
And I'll give you a clue, and we'll see if you can guess it. When he retired, he was one of the last active Bears to be coached by George Halas. Or he was the last active Bear.
Was it Doug Buffone?
Yes, Mr. Doug Buffone, the linebacker for the Chicago Bears.
Fuck yeah, Doug Buffone.
He was born in 1944 in Pennsylvania and went to high school in Pennsylvania. Ended up playing college at Louisville. He was drafted by the Bears in 1966, round 4, pick number 60. He's considered one of the 100 greatest Chicago Bears of all time.
Oh, for sure.
In college in Louisville, he was one of only four players in Louisville team history to go three consecutive seasons to lead in tackles.
Okay.
He was like I said, he was drafted by the Bears in 1966. And I said he was the last active player to have played for George Halas. When he retired from the Bears in 1980, he was the all-time leader in games played, had over 1,200 tackles, over seven seasons with over 100 tackles, and he was a defensive captain for 8 seasons.
Damn.
He was heavily involved in Chicago sports and broadcasting. Interesting fact, he was founder of the Arena Football League.
Whoa.
Yeah, and as a matter of fact, remember when there was the Chicago Rush were around?
Yep.
Back in late 2000s, like 2010, around then.
Yeah.
He was the broadcaster for them.
Fuck yeah. I mean, he was on the Score. He was everywhere.
Yeah. It says, he was on the Score. He had shares. He's part owners of Gibson Steakhouse and Digital One, who created Clickstream TV.
You know, he and Ed Obrandovich in the Bears postgame show is the reason why I'm such a pessimist for the Bears. Because whenever we'd go to a game, me and my dad, we would like listen to the postgame on their radio on the 670, and they would have fucking heart attack meltdowns every single week, no matter what. Didn't matter. There was always something, and they were screaming about it, and they'd go nuts, and it was the best post game of all time. It was just two old white dudes just bitching. It was incredible.
One last like interesting stat. How about this for a defensive player? The first two interceptions he had in his career were from Bart Starr and Johnny Unitas.
Fuck yeah. Hell yeah, Doug Buffone.
That's crazy.
I didn't know he was gay.
No, not Doug Buffone.
Oh.
No, that's another guy that we'll talk about in a minute when we're honoring tight ends because it was tight ends week last week.
No shit. Okay. Yeah. I was going to say.
Yeah, no. Doug Buffone was not gay.
Listen, I just assume everyone's gay until otherwise.
All right. At least that we know. But otherwise, great man in Chicago sports and Chicago broadcasting.
Yeah, he's a legend.
That's Mr. Doug Buffone.
All right. That was really good. And so here's the deal. I'm going to need you to strap in, Ryan, because this guy's fucking nuts that I'm going to talk to you today about. His name is Johnny Blood McNally.
Oh, shit. All
right. He's born in 1903 in New Richmond, Wisconsin, which is like really northwest.
Nice.
Like pretty close to Minnesota. Now, of course, since this was like the 1920s, he graduated from high school at 14, but played no sports in high school.
What?
So he went to
14.
Yeah. So he, dude, hang on, strap in, man. Then he goes to St. John's University in Minnesota and letters in football, baseball, basketball, and track.
Oh my God.
He transfers to Notre Dame in 1926, but he decides to play pro football instead of college ball. So let's flash back 4 years. In 1922, he's working for a newspaper, and he gets a lead that he could like get a side gig playing semi-pro football for a local team. And okay. He decides to try out, right? So he and a buddy get on a motorcycle and go to the tryouts under fake names. He went with Blood McNally because as they were driving to the tryouts, the marquee of a movie theater was talking about a movie called Blood and Sand. All right.
Damn.
He makes the team as Blood McNally. So, and these are some great 1920s teams. You ready to hear some of the teams he played for?
Sure.
The Milwaukee Badgers.
Nice.
The Duluth Eskimos.
Oh, even better.
The Pottsville Maroons.
Pottsville?
The Pottsville Maroons.
Oh, shit.
The Green Bay Packers.
Okay.
And the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Nice.
All right, so this guy's nuts. His nickname when he played was the Vagabond Halfback, and I'll explain that in a second. So I literally had to copy paste this next thing from the internet directly because it's so good. Ready?
Quote, nice.
When Coach Curly Lambeau first negotiated a contract with McNally to play for the Green Bay Packers, he offered him $110 a week if he wouldn't drink after Wednesday and $100 a week if he did. McNally allegedly took the $100, although a later story said Lambeau said he would give him the $110 and let him drink on Wednesday for being so honest about it. His last two seasons in Pittsburgh, he was a player slash coach, and the team was really not that good. So he was seen on camera at a game on the West Coast in California the day before a game for Pittsburgh that he ended up skipping. So he was just hanging out in California. And he didn't get fired because the owner said, quote, the other guys liked him too much.
Oh, wow.
Okay, so wait, hang on, there's more. Like, there's a bunch of urban legends about this guy. And here's some that people say that are true. He was called the Vagabond Halfback because he would hide between train cars to avoid paying the fare.
Really? He
played almost an entire game with a partially collapsed kidney.
What?
He did chin-ups hanging over the edge of a boat crossing the Pacific Ocean. He climbed buildings drunk and then would scale them down to avoid getting caught for breaking curfew.
What?
Apparently, he drunkenly pushed his car in front of the team's train to prevent it from leaving without him, and he wasn't punished for it because they needed him to play and coach the next day. He enlisted in the Army after Pearl Harbor, served as a cryptographer in India. When he came back, he joined the Packers again, but got injured in an exhibition game before the season started and retired. He ended up coaching college football, teaching, getting his master's degree in economics. He moved back home to run an employment agency, which is pretty cool. In 1963, Johnny Blood McNally was part of the 17-man inaugural class of the first ever Pro Football Hall of Fame. He lived in New Richmond until he passed in 1985. So that's Johnny Blood McNally.
Damn. What a crazy story, guy.
Right?
Yeah.
All right, so let's move on to part two and admit that we fucked up. Like, we didn't celebrate National Tight End Day last week, and it cost us.
No, I was so pissed. I when I started watching games on Sunday, I'm like, oh, it's National Tight Ends Day. I completely forgot. October 20th. It's the fourth Sunday in October every year.
The way it should be.
Yeah.
So let's make up for it. Let's dive deep and let's talk. We got a couple of blurbs. So I want to talk about some of our all-time favorite mid-tier kind of shitty tight ends ever.
Right. So these aren't like crazy like best tight ends ever. These are just guys who had careers in the NFL and we just found some interesting stuff about them.
Yep.
Never were really crazy good or anything. We'll start with my first guy, Mr. Jerry Smith. Played in the 70s and the 80s. He was actually the first NFL player to come out and admit that he was gay. He died from AIDS.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And actually, he played for, he played for Vince Lombardi. And I didn't know this, but I guess Vince Lombardi had a gay brother, and he demanded a homophobia-free locker room when he was playing for him. Yeah. And, yeah, and shortly before Jerry Smith died, he said, "Every important thing a man searches for in his life, I found in Coach Lombardi."
Damn. Wow. Good shit.
Yeah. Just interesting. I was looking through stuff, and I was like, wow, I can't believe it came along this.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Jerry Smith.
Mine's a little shorter. I'm going to talk briefly. I don't even really need to talk about it. I just need to say the name, and you're going to know. Gary Barnage.
Gary Barnage, yes.
The Hell Barn yeah. Dog.
Yes.
1 year wonder. Like, 2014, one of the best tight ends in football. I mean, like, was rocking everyone's ass. Unbelievable. And then that was it. like he came like a fucking shooting star. He was nothing before, and then 1 year it was just magical. And then he just disappeared. So for most of his career, he was definitely a mid-tier kind of shitty tight end of the week.
Hell yeah. My next one is Mr. John Mackey. Oh. Another player who had problems later on in his life with his mental health and stuff. Most likely it was from CT, but I don't think that was ever confirmed.
Sure.
He made it to 5 Pro Bowls, including his rookie season.
That's what they named the college football tight end award after, John Mackey.
Yes, that is correct. And also, once, because of his post-career health problems, the NFL, because I think he was number 88, came up with the 88 plan in 2007, was named after his jersey number, because it now provides $88,000 per year for nursing home care and $50,000 annually for adult daycare for former NFL players.
Wow.
Because, yeah, he had kind of breakdowns. There was incidents at airports, and stuff like that. But yeah, Mr. John Mackey paved the way for former NFL players to now receive long-term health care.
Cool. And pretty mid-tier. I got a pretty mid-tier guy for you. Austin Safarian Jenkins.
Damn, I remember him.
And so my explanation for this literally says, IDK, he's mid and kind of shitty, and he had a cool name, and once in a while he'd score you a touchdown. There you go.
Hell yeah. My last one is Russ Francis. Surprisingly, another professional wrestler.
Oh.
Yeah. John Francis. I don't think he had a prolific career like Wahoo McDaniels or anything. But it does say that he once appeared in a 20-man battle royale in WrestleMania 2, along with a few other NFL stars. He's actually the son of wrestling promoter Ed Francis. So I'm guessing that's where he started wrestling from. But yeah, I just thought it was cool because that he was a professional wrestler. He played with Patriots. He played from like 75 all the way to like 1989. So he had a pretty long career. He played for 3 different teams.
Cool.
But yeah, another mid-tier kind of shitty of the week.
Yeah, it's kind of shitty. So I guess now our next thing that we have to do is do it right. So Ryan, why don't you talk to us about this week's
mid-tier kind of shitty tight end of the week.
So this week, as usual, I got a few. I'm stepping over and I'm pivoting from Bellinger. I'm taking his backup, Chris Mayorick. He's 4,600 in FanDuel right now. He did well in the second half after Bellinger went out last week, and it seems like New York still wants to target their tight end. So I think he could see 3 to 5 targets, maybe even a touchdown this week. And 2 other long shots. Another guy who did really well last week, Peyton Hendershot, got a touchdown. It seems like he's developing some type of rapport with with Dallas quarterbacks, even Cooper Rush, even Dak Prescott. I mean, and it seems like Dallas wants to use their tight ends.
Yeah.
But my super deep play of the week at 4,400, Mr. Chig Okonkwo.
Love it.
As Tony pointed out earlier, Malik Willis will be playing this week, and I almost guarantee you that Malik Willis has had snaps with Chig Okonkwo in practice before. So, I like him for a touchdown this week.
That's great. All right, so I've got my Jamal Agnew line DFS play of the week here. Jamal Agnew this week is 5,000 on FanDuel. Now, I'd like to start off by saying that my play this week below 5K is gross. If the name of the game was picking players at or below the Jamal Agnew line, I could have gone Elijah Moore for 5K and been like, oh yeah, you know, he's upset about his lack of involvement. Corey Davis is hurt. He's going to get a few targets this week. But that's at the Agnew line. So I'm going to go $100 less, and I'm going to go with Boston Scott for the sum of $4,900 this week.
Interesting. Why are you thinking that?
Well, Philly's playing Pittsburgh.
Okay.
Philly's a giant rush out to huge lead in the first half team. That equals garbage time. The garbage time running back for the Philadelphia Eagles is Boston Scott, so I'm thinking Boston Scott could get between 5 to 9 touches in this game and score a 1 yard garbage time TD.
Hell yeah. I like it.
Like, I will say, last week, game script was so weird in that Seattle game, but they were giving DJ Dallas touches.
That's true. And I did put him in an afternoon lineup. I remember you talking about him. I'm like, I'll put him in. He was super cheap. Ended up, what did he get, like 30 yards or something?
Yeah. You know, got you 3 points, yeah. 4 points. Not great, but like,
right.
If that game script was flipped, it's clear that he was going to have some production.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
All right. So before we go, we need to make a super flex lineup. And Ryan, last week our super flex lineup came in 7th place.
I know. It was crazy. We cashed $30, right?
Yep.
On a $5 lineup.
And we were sitting down, what, like 19 with Tua and Tyreek Hill still to go.
Yeah.
And we were at like 17th place. So we had a chance, but it just... Yep.
Miami fizzled out.
Yeah. I know that first drive, I was like, we got this.
Yeah, I know, right?
All right, so we're going to go back to the well, right? We're going to go back to our single entry super spike.
The $5?
Yes, sir.
All right. Let's see here.
As we go, usually what we end up doing, Ryan, is we have you pick a QB wide receiver stack, I pick a QB wide receiver stack or whatever. And that's kind of what's been our successful format. So who's your guy?
Since it is the super flex, and we have no exposure to him in anything this week because he's on the Sunday night game, should we do Allen? Or do we feel he may not play the second half? Because when we thought about that against Pittsburgh, he still put up like 34 points. He just put up all his points in the first like 20 minutes of the game.
I'll go Allen, but only if we go Gabe Davis.
Sure.
Because Gabe Davis is going to have a better matchup because Diggs might be shadowed during Jair Alexander. He's going against Jair Alexander. And like, they've gone back and forth and they've had their battles, and he's definitely done better than Jair. But I think Gabe Davis has just such a better matchup. And at 6,600, I think like he's a big play threat, you know? He's a two-touchdown threat.
That's true.
That's a slate-breaking play. Like, that's a play we want. All right, so, you know, I'm looking at this other super flex option here. And let's go with Tua and Jalen Waddle. So that'll kind of be like our theme where we pay up for a high quarterback and then go after their secondary target.
Okay.
So that leaves us at 6,625, and I feel really good about what we have so far. So let's look at tight end here.
Yeah, let's see. I don't think we need to pay up unless you wanted to do like the Taysom Hill thing, but
I'm not against the Taysom Hill thing. Really, like I do think there is a chance that there is some Taysom Hill bullshit this week.
And like, if we did do Taysom Hill, I'd want to put Olave in there, I think. Or no, maybe not.
I mean, okay, so what do we expect Taysom Hill to put up? 10 points? 15 points?
If it's only 10 points, then I don't want to pay $6,500.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if you're looking at his scores, he's got two big games, but the rest of the time, it's less than 10.
Right.
And if he's the second highest, you might as well put in Kittle at that point.
Right.
Like, I think we would be better off if we went a little bit deeper and looked at maybe like a Pat Freiermuth at 5,700.
What about Ertz?
I like Ertz too. I'll put in Ertz.
Or you were talking Gesicki. Oh no, we already have Dolphins.
I like Ertz. I'd go with Ertz, no problem.
Or Irv Smith.
Irv Smith makes us a little bit more flexible at running back since he's so cheap at 5,000. Yeah.
And it says Cardinals are 25th against the pass. Let's go Irv Smith.
Okay, we'll go Irv Smith. Okay, so we've got money. We've got some running back holes here. We've got Henry, Barkley, Jacobs at the top. We got Kenny Walker, who I definitely want some exposure to. What do you think about Ken Walker?
Well, if we put in Walker, we'll have 65. Yeah, let's go Walker.
Okay. Now, I think we can reasonably look at value for flex here.
Right.
Remember, we were all huge on DJ Moore. We were all huge on Drake London. And those guys are right around, you know, you get Tony Pollard at 6,300, DJ Moore at 6,200, and London 56 is... balls cheap.
What if we went like Damian Pierce? That would leave us 5,800.
Pierce at the second running back?
Yeah.
Pierce is so expensive.
That would leave us the other Pierce, Gallup, Parker, Warren, Freiermuth. So then we're going to have to pay down even more from Pierce. Why is he... Yeah, well, he's... becoming really good.
I mean, London at 56 fits into our scheme, our salary scheme.
If we keep Pierce?
Yeah. We'd still have $200 left over. And I like this team a lot.
Yeah, let's go London. Let's see who's at 5,200 for tight end.
No one good. And
Knox, yeah, no one. Yeah, I like Smith there.
Fuck yeah, let's do it. Let's lock this shit in, man. Allen, Kenny Walker, Damian Pierce, Gabe Davis, Jalen Waddle, Irv Smith, Drake London, Tua Tagliavoa.
Nice.
That's it, man. Let's do it. Let's take home the pot this time.
That is sexy.
Yeah. Thank you, sex players, being good at this game. All right. Well, that's 55. We got 56 coming at you next week. I don't think we're missing any tight end holidays between then and now, are we?
No.
Okay, good.
We've covered tight ends for a while.
Yeah, that's true. They owe us.
Yep.
All right, so good luck to everybody. I hope your fantasy weeks are good. I think this is, me and Ryan agree, they think this is a high-scoring week.
I hope so.
Yeah, I think it's time that, you know, we started getting some points. Ryan, you got any, like, who's your favorite play of any sport, of any position this week?
It's tough to say because of all those running back matchups, but I did go pretty heavy in the gambling show calling Derrick Henry 2+ touchdowns, so I like that this week, Derrick Henry 2+ touchdowns.
That's a good bet. My bet is Drake London's receiving over, and I'll smash it all day long. It's stupid low. Carolina gives up a lot of points to wide receivers. That's the show.
Yeah.
All right, good luck, everybody. Hopefully the shit bounces your way. Ryan, we get to kick it tonight. I'm excited.
Hell yeah.
Craig, you're not invited.
Craig is not invited. I'll call you after poker.
All right, good luck. Good night, everybody.
See ya. cool because that he was a professional wrestler. He